So, starting the from the bottom of 5a, by the two dots. So we're going to go on. It's going. The Gemara is going to discuss the opinion, the machlokas actually in the Mishnah about the case of witnesses coming along and being mazim, the first set of witnesses. But then more witnesses come to support the first set of witnesses, and the second set, the mazimim, are mazim those subsequent sets as well, and it keeps going on. And the Mishnah said, there's a machlokas, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan say that no matter how many witnesses come along afterwards supporting the first witnesses, if the second witnesses are mazim all of them, they're all huzim. But Rabbi Yehuda says no, istotis huzu, hizu. It's indicative that the second witnesses are istotis, they're conspiring, and they're deliberately being mazim, all these other subsequent witnesses, they're conspiring to protect the defendant. And therefore, the Mishnah said, Einan erig ala kat rishona bilvad, the only one which is killed, the only set of witnesses which are killed are the first set, the very first set before the subsequent witnesses come along and they'll huzum, you know, continually by the second set of witnesses. So that's what the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss. Yehuda Omer Estatis Hizu, this second set of witnesses are called Estatis, they're considered conspiring witnesses. So, affect the Gemara on the next page, E Estatis, if the second witnesses are Estatis, are conspiring to perpetually mazim, be mazim, the all subsequent witnesses coming along. So then the obvious question is, I feel a kat rishona nami, that even the first group, the first set of witnesses, the very first ones, shouldn't be killed either. Because if we're calling the second set of witnesses istotis, conspiring, then they're obviously conspiring against the first witnesses as well. So why does the Mishnah say that, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the first witnesses are killed? So the answer is, lo omar, nami lo, sorry. I feel a kat rishona nami lo, even the first set also not, should not be killed. So the Quran says, Omar Rabbi Abohu. Rabbi Abohu said that the explanation is, Shekodmu v'hargu, that they advanced and they killed, meaning that the Bezdin already had killed and executed the first witnesses, because of the second witnesses, and then the subsequent witnesses came along afterwards. So it's already, you know, it already happened. So the first witnesses were killed. I mean, that's what happened. Rashi says, Shekodmu v'hargu, that they advanced and killed at Kat HaRishon, as Kat HaRishon, the first group. Kodmu Shetavu Katshne, before the arrival of the second set of witnesses. So now the obvious question on that is, as the Gemara, so my dahava hava, what was? What my dahava, what that was, hava was. What was, why we, what are we concerned about, what happened? Rashi says, and why is it for me that the Mishnah should teach? Why to me that the Mishnah should teach the phrase Elakat Rishona, only the first cat, only the first group of witnesses? That's what happens. We're not concerned. There's no din in that. The Mishnah is not teaching us any halacha about it. She's saying a state of facts that the first witnesses were killed. Okay, fine. Well, that it happened. So what does it teach us? So therefore, the Gemara says, the Gemara rejects Rabbi Abahu's explanation and offers a different explanation. Ella, rather, Omar, Rava said the following. Hachi, comma, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Im eina ella, katachas, if there is not but one group, if there's only one group, then indeed, nehareges, that group would be killed. But, ina iika tefei, if there are more groups, so then eina harogim, then they're not killed. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. That if there's one group, then that group is killed. But if there are more groups, then the subsequent groups are not killed. But on that also, there's a problem. Because the Gemara says, Ha, behold, Bilvad Ka'amar. The Mishnah says, Bilvad, the only group which is killed is that first one alone. The word Bilvad only, or alone, Rashi says, is mashma, implies sheesh odacheres, that there's another group along with it. So it doesn't sound, from the syntax of the Mishnah, it doesn't sound like it's speaking about a, you know, such a explanation as Rava is suggesting. You know, Rava is saying that if there's one group, then that's killed. If there's other groups, then the other one, then the others are not killed. But by the language of just, when you look at the Mishnah, the only group which is killed is the first one alone. It just sounds like there's a whole bunch of groups there. The first one is killed, but the others are not killed. So it doesn't seem to kind of fit so well in the language of the Mishnah. So the Gemara concludes and says, Kasha, yeah, it's difficult. The language of the Mishnah is difficult. It doesn't change the din. Obviously, the circumstance is such that, the case is that in the case where there's one group, obviously that's killed. And if there's a whole bunch of groups afterwards, then they're not killed. But the language of the Mishnah sounds a little bit difficult according to that, and the Gemara doesn't offer any further explanation. The Gemara now brings a story. There was a certain woman, the Asai Sahade, that she brought witnesses to Beis Din to support a claim that she had. Asai means is from the word asa, to come or to bring. In this case, she brought Sahade witnesses, v'ishtakor, and these witnesses were proven to be false. Now, we're not talking about Hazama here, we're talking about just false witnesses. Rashi says, Ishtakru, they were proven to be false. Hechishu ze es ze. Bedrishus bezdin, kishabodkum. Hechishu ze ze. They contradicted this one and this one. The two witnesses were contradicting each other in the testimony. Bedrishus in the investigations of bezdin, kishabodkum, when they tested them. So they're false witnesses. Their testimony was falsified. And then the Gemara continues. The story continues. I see Sahade v'ishtakot. So she brought more witnesses, and they also were ishtakot, were falsified. Ozla, I see Sahade achrinis. She went ahead and she brought more witnesses, other witnesses. Ah, the low ishtakot. But in this case, they weren't falsified. So she finally succeeded in bringing some good witnesses for herself. However, Reish Lakish ruled. Amar Reish Lakish said, doesn't help her, because Huchsukuzu, this woman has become established as being a bringer of false witnesses. So even these last witnesses who come, they're not going to be believed, because she's already has a chazaka of bringing false witnesses to begin with. Rashi says, Huchzukuzu, Lahavi Edisheka, that she has a chazaka bringing false witnesses, Velo, Nekabel Oud Edas Acherus, and we will not accept any more further testimony, additional testimony for her. Question arises in my mind right this second, and that is, a chazaka typically is established after three times. So she only brought false witnesses twice. So why does she have a chazaka if we say chazakas are established after a repetition, a three-time repetition of an action? I don't know the answer to that. Tosus doesn't say anything about it. Okay, so Tzorach Ian. In any event, she has a chazaka. So therefore, the latter witnesses are not accepted either on her behalf. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Lei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar responded to Reish Lakish and says, what are you talking about? If she's huchzak, if she has a chazaka, okay, she has a chazaka bringing false witnesses, but Kol Yisrael mi huchzaku. Does that mean to say that all of the Klal Yisrael have a chazaka of lying? Rashi says, if she's huchzak, lachzor acharehem, to go around after them, to find false witnesses, to find witnesses who are going to lie on her behalf. But Kol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael mihuchzaku, do they have a chazaka lishmo Allah, to listen to her? Shetachzik as achirim kishkarim, that you should establish the other ones as being shakarim, as being liars. The only thing you can say is that she has a reputation of bringing false witnesses, but that doesn't mean to say that everyone's going to listen to her. So why should we say that the last witnesses who came along, if they were not found to be false, or if their testimony stands the test of Beis Din, so they should be accepted? So that's the machlokas Reish Lakish of Elazar. Reish Lakish says she has a chazaka, and all the witnesses are not accepted. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, she may have a chazaka, but everybody else doesn't have a chazaka. Then the story continues. Zimnim means another time, a different time, different occasion. Hayu Yasve Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. They were both sitting, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Asa Kihai Ma'asa. There came like this story. A similar case came before Rabbi Yochanan as we just described. Lekamayo, before them. Amar Reish Lakish, and again Reish Lakish echoed his opinion. He said, Huchzukuzu, this woman has a chazaka. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan then said to him, the teacher, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan is the Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Im Huchzukuzu, if this one, the woman, has a chazaka, Kol Yisrael mi Huchzuku, do all of the other people, all of the Klal Yisrael, all the Jews coming, do they have a chazaka? He said exactly the same words as Rabbi Elazar said in the dispute he had with Reish Lakish earlier. Now, this caused a little bit of kind of disturbance to Reish Lakish, because now that Reish Lakish is hearing their Rebbe say the same opinion as Rabbi Elazar, his opponent, so Hadar Chazya Rabbi Elazar Bishus, he turned and looked at Rabbi Elazar with a stern face. Amale, he said to him, Shomata mili, mibar napcha, lo amrat li mishmei. He said to him, you heard halachas, the words of halacha, mibar napcha. From bar napcha is the son of napcha. And that's another expression for Rabbi Yochanan, their Rebbe. I think napcha is some kind of profession, I forget what it means, but he was known as bar napcha. You heard the halacha from Bar Napcha, this opinion that you stated that we don't give a chazaka to everybody else just because she has a chazaka, well, that the exact words that our teacher has just said. V'lo amrat li mishmei, and you didn't say that to me in his name, from his name. You should be quoting his name. How come you're like saying it as though it's your own opinion? It's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Anyway, that's the episode. Let's look at Rashi on this. Rashi says, Zimnin Tamacheris, another time, Hada Chazel Rabbi Elazar Bishus, he turned and looked at Rabbi Elazar with Bishus, Hechzir Reish Lakish, Esponov, Reish Lakish turned his face, Venistakel, and stared, Rabbi Elazar, Beponim Zoafus, almost like an angry face, Shehivin Reish Lakish. The Reish Lakish understood Shishamar Balaza, that Rabbi Elazar had heard Davazeh, this word, but Pi Rabbi Yochanan, from the mouth of Rabbi Yochanan. Because Sha'amra Lo, and when he said it to him, Rabbi Elazar said this to Reish Lakish, Lo Amra Bashmo, he never said it in his name. Okay, so that's the end of the episode. Now going back to the Sugya at hand. So we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. Now we've identified the source, Rabbi Elazar, it's Rabbi Yochanan. And again, Reish Lakish says, Chazaka. Rabbi Yochanan says, no Chazaka. So the Gemara says, Lema, shall we say, Reish Lakish, who holds of a Chazaka for the woman, and everyone is discredited, the Reish Lakish, the Amak, Rabbi Yehuda, the Reish Lakish said like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Because on the surface it looks the same. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Edim had the second witnesses have a chazaka of being mazim, they have a chazaka of conspiring against all the witnesses. So they sound the same. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda sound similar. Rashi says, "Domer Rabbi Yehuda b'masnisin in our Mishnah istotis hizu." This second set of witnesses is a conspiring set of witnesses. V'huchzuka lahazim, and they have a chazaka being mazim. So Reish Lakish and Yehuda sound the same. Chazaka. Shall we say that Reish Lakish, Damakar Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't hold of a chazaka, Damakar Rabbanan, said like the Rabbanan, that all the witnesses in the Mishnah are all executed, and the second witnesses do not have a chazaka. So that's what could we, shall we say that? The Gemara says no. Because Amalach Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish, who here says she has a chazaka, could say to you, Ana, I, the Amri Lach, the I that said to you, literally, I say to you, Afilu Rabbanan, even according to Rabbanan, I say my words to you, Afilu Rabbanan. I could say my word, my halacha to you, even according to Rabbanan. Why? Because Ad Kan Luka Amar Rabbanan, until this point, the Rabbanan didn't say their words of no chazaka, hasam over there in the Mishnah. Again, Ad is a bit of a tricky expression. Ad Kan Luka Amar Rabbanan hasam. Until here, literally, or until this point, the Rabbanan didn't say their din of no chazaka, hasam over there in the Mishnah. Why? The Leka Duka Mahadar, that there is no one there in the Mishnah that is pursuing, that is looking around, chasing after. There isn't one person looking around to find false witnesses. Rashi said, the Leka Duka Mahadar, there is no one there looking around, pursuing. Shein Adam Mechaza Chareyim, there's no person going around after them, the Sochrim, to hire them. Well, a hargilam, and to make them accustomed, tamid, all the time, lavo, to come, to bezdin, for lahazim es kol ha-boyim, and to be mazim, all of those who are coming. There's no one there, like, who's instigating this. There's no one individual, or individuals, who are instigating this process of bringing more and more to bezdin, that they can become huzam by the second witnesses. So therefore, there, I understand that there's no chazaka there. Aval hocha, but here, in my case, this case of the woman, Ika, there is, right, there is somebody, Ika, sorry, there is, there is this one, this woman, the kamahadra, that she's going around getting people. Rashi said, the kamahadra levakesh, to seek out, liskar, and to hire, edei sheker, false witnesses. So therefore, I could agree with the Rabbanan in the Mishnah, but over here I say she has a chazaka. And then similarly for Rabbi Yochanan could respond and say, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loch, Rabbi Yochanan could say to you, Rabbi Yochanan in this case who says that there is no chazaka, and all the witnesses would be believed, the other witnesses who are not falsified would be believed, and there is no chazaka, could say to you, Ana I, the Amre, I said afila rabbanan, and I said my words even a kuntra to Rabbi Yehuda. I say my halacha even a kuntra Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, because ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda didn't say his halacha until this point Rabbi Yehuda didn't say his halacha hasam over there, that there's a chazaka da amrinan atu kuli alma. That we would say, atu kuli alma. Atu is like a question mark. Kuli alma gabi honi have kaima. The whole world in front of these ones, they were standing. In other words, in the case of the Mishnah, it doesn't make sense that the second witnesses could be mazim, all these other subsequent witnesses. That implies that they were standing in front of everybody. They were there together with everybody in order to mazim all these other witnesses. Have to say, you were with us. I mean, it's impossible. It doesn't make sense. So there, it doesn't make sense that the other witnesses could be, you know, that they could be mazim all these witnesses. Atu kuli alma gabi honi havakaima. The whole world beside these ones, they were standing. So there, I understand Rabbi Yehuda says there's a chazaka, that they have a chazaka of being conspiring witnesses. What's the problem over here? The later witnesses, they knew testimony on her behalf. In other words, they knew the testimony truthfully. And the other ones, the first ones, didn't know. They were just hired to lie. So it's not a illogical phenomena that she has witnesses there are valid witnesses. Because she perhaps didn't know that she had those valid witnesses, that's why she went ahead and hired the earlier witnesses to lie on her behalf. but doesn't preclude the possibility there are other witnesses in New Testament on her behalf. Rashi says, Hani Yadu Basadu, so these ones in New Testimony, Eila Achorim, Achronim, these later ones, Yadu Basadu Shalzu, they knew the testimony about the testimony Shalzu of this woman. So that's the end of the Gemara. Now the truth is, I just actually saw one of the Mephorshim that discusses that issue of the Chazaka that, that Reish Lakish says that since she's already, come twice, false witnesses twice, so she has a chazaka, and I pointed out that a chazaka l'chora is established only after an action is repeated three times. So the Pirush says the following. I'm just going to read the Hebrew and translate. This is, you don't have this anywhere. Ma'acha shehaviya kevar isha zu pa'amayim edim shehuchach shehim shakronim. Since this woman has brought these false witnesses twice, she has this chazaka of bringing Eide Sheka. And we can't believe her anymore. That's basically a re-quote of Rashi. So he says the following. Can sova Reish Lakish. Here, Reish Lakish is of the opinion. Kashitas Rebbe. Like the opinion of Rebbe in Mesechas Yevamos. Ha'oma shukovim chazaka b'shtei pa'amim l'bilvad. Rebbe holds that a chazaka is established after just two times. So my understanding of three times is true according to the opinion that disagrees with Rebbe. But Rebbe holds two times makes a chazaka. So that's one understanding, so that explains that. So Reish Lakish holds like Rebbe, that a two-time action establishes a chazaka. Another pshat, Pirish Acher, another explanation is that Haras Reish Lakish Mavuseses al Umdana. The ruling of Reish Lakish is based upon what's called an Umdana. The word Umdana means like an assumption. Hanu Shiesh Koach Biyad Bezdin Baufan Musyomit. The Bezdin has the power in certain circumstances, Lifol al Pimashahim Sha'arim Bedaitom, to function or to behave according to what they estimate in their mind is the right way to act. B'svar barura shehu emes, with clear analysis, which is the truth. So basically, even though true, a chazaka is established after three times, according to this second opinion, nonetheless, Bezdin is still empowered to be able to make their discerning judgment about a situation such that even if the action was done twice, nonetheless, if they discern and estimate that this is already considered something suspicious or something to act upon, then they have the power to do that. So therefore, that could be what Reish Lakish is doing here, that he's, even though there is technically not a chazaka, but he's using his judicial license to treat it as a chazaka, even though it was only done twice. So the Mishnah continues. The next Mishnah: Ein ha'edim zomimim neharogim ad sheyigamer hadin. The edim zomimim are not killed until the din is completed, until the case, the court case, the judgment against him is completed. Meaning that it's the point at which the din of Hazam replies is the completion of the judgment. Rashi says, "Elim kein nigmar techila hadin shal hanidon," unless the judgment, the verdict, was first completed, the din, the judgment was completed initially of the nidon of the defendant lihareg, to be killed. V'achakach huzman, and afterwards they were huzam. And in other words, we've discussed this before, that once the defendant is executed by Bezdin, then the din of Hazama is no longer applicable. It's specifically after the Gemar Din, but before the actual Hariga of the defendant. The Mishnah continues, Shaharei, that behold, Hatzedukim, the Sadducees, Omrim would say, Ad Shiyoharek, until the person is killed. And as after the person's killed, the Beis Din executes the individual, that's when the Din of Azoma would apply. Shenema, as it says in the verse. Now, some Girsas over here have the word Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh. It seems that most Girsayas of the Mishnah have another verse, Nefesh bin Nefesh. And Rashi has that as well. As the Pasuk says, Nefesh bin Nefesh. This is a Pasuk in the Parsha of Edom Zomim. Rashi explains, Nefesh bin Nefesh, be Edom Zomim Kasif. About Edom Zomim this is written, Lo Sochos Einecha, do not have pity upon him. Lo Sochos Einecha, let your eyes not have pity. Sochos or Tochos, from the word Chas, which means to have pity, your eyes shall not have pity. Nefesh bin Nefesh, a soul for a soul, a life for a life. And those don't have pity upon these Edom Zomim. The Edom Zomim have to be executed in the same way they tried to impose that upon the defendant. But the Pasuk says, Nefesh bin Nefesh, a life for a life, which superficially means that it means after the person was killed by executed by Beis Din. One life for another life. Famous eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So the Tzedukim interpreted the Torah very literally. And this was considered false by the Chachamim, as the Mishnah continues. Amru lehem Chachamim. The Chachamim said to them, V'alu kvar nemar. Is it not already written in the Pasuk? Is it not already said, V'asisim lo kasha zomam? Do to him as he zomam lasos, as he plotted to do, lochiv, against his brother. Against his brother. Vahare achiv kayim. Behold, the implication of the pasuk of la'asos la'achiv, that to do to his brother, implies that his brother, vahare, behold, achiv, his brother, kayim, is still extant, as around, is alive. Rashi says, la'asos la'achiv, to do to his brother, mashma, implies, she'achiv adayin kayim, that his brother, that behold, his brother is still kayim, is still existing, is alive. So the Mishnah continues, Vim Kana, so if so, and if so, that the Din of Azama applies when he's still alive after the Gemar Din. Lama Nemar Nefesh Benefesh. So why does it say in the Pasuk Nefesh Benefesh, which is a life for a life? And the Mishnah answers, the Chacham answer, because Yochol Mishasha Kible Dusan Yohargo. One may think the word Yochol is literally, he is able. But it means one may, it's possible one is able to think. Meshasha kiblu edusan yohargo. From the time that the Beis Din accepted their edus, their testimony yohargo, they are killed. Talmud lomar, thus the Torah teaches, nefesh benefesh, ha'enon neharog yimach yigoma hadin. Behold, they're not killed until the din is completed. Rashi says, yochol meshakiblu edusan, one is able to think that maybe they would be killed once their edus has been accepted. Kabbalah mishakiblu from that mishakiblu. Rashi, the Mishnah's words are mishah shakiblu, from the hour that they accepted edus and their testimony. Rashi contracts that and says mishakiblu edusam, from the time that, or from that when. How to translate Misha from that. Kiblu, they accepted Edusan, their testimony. Uba lehem hazoma, and the hazoma came to them. The yad, immediately kodam, before Gemardina, before the completion of his din, shall need them of the defendant, Yohargu, they should get killed. So this is the dispute between the Tzedukim and the Chachomim. So Gemara explains. Gemara brings a braisa. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Baribi, Rashi says, Baribi Omer, Rashi says, Kach Hoyashma, this was his name. Baribi, used to say, Lo Hargu Naharogin. If they were not killed, Naharogin. They are killed. As if the defendants are not killed, Naharogin. The Zomimim are killed. Hargu, once the defendants are killed, Ein Arogin, the Zomimim are not killed. That's the rule. Rashi says, hargu, shlohuzmu achinariga nidun al piha. They were killed, that they weren't huzum, the witnesses were not huzum until the defendant was killed, was executed al piha, based upon their word, their testimony. But if they so the din is, like we said, that only if they're not killed would the zomimim be killed. So Omar Aviv, his father, Barivi's father, said to him, Bini, my son, lav kal v'choma hu? Is it not a kal v'choma? Should it not be a kal v'choma? Meaning if they're killed, even before the defendants are killed, after the Gemar Din, then surely they should be killed, they should be executed, if they did achieve their hazama and make them get killed. It should be a kal v'choma. True, it's not meduyuk, it's not implicit, or it's not seen in the pasuk this way. But logic should tell us that if the zomim are killed just for the hazama, even when they don't actually achieve the execution of the defendant by Bezdin, then surely, well, the more so they should be killed if they do succeed in their hazama. So again, the father of Brivi is not saying this based upon psukim. He's saying this based upon logic, the kal v'choma, one of the 13 principles of Talmudic analysis, kal v'choma. I always forget the proper pronunciation, it's a fiyoshuri argument. So he's saying, B'nei, my son, lav kal v'choma, who is another kal v'choma. So Brivi responds and says, no. Amalo, he said back to him, to his father, limadatenu rabbeinu. You taught us, our teacher, you taught us, our teacher. Means he's referring to his father as our teacher. Didn't you teach us, our teacher? The medatehenu, that you taught us, Rabbeinu, our teacher. She'ein on shemin adin, that we do not give punishment, min hadin, from the judgment. Now, this is not referring to the typical word judgment, but it's referring to the judgment of kal v'choma, or the judgment of any type of analysis or logic. We don't give an onesh based upon an onesh based upon something which is not explicit in the pasuk, but merely based upon analysis, logic, or in this case, kal v'choma. Ein onshim in a din. I think actually specifically means kal v'choma. I think in general this expression refers specifically to a kal v'choma. But the point is, you can't give a punishment based upon a kal v'choma. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, ish asher yikach es achoso bas aviv or bas imo. This pasuk is talking about forbidden relationships, and it says, a man that takes his sister, bas aviv, who is the daughter of his father, or bas imo, or the daughter of his mother. So it's a half sister. So if he marries, has relations with his sister, either the bas aviv, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. So that's one of the prohibitions. So the Braisa says, "Ein li ela bas aviv shlo bas imo, ubas imo shlo bas aviv." All I see in this pasuk, it was ainly, there isn't to me except, Ella except, Basaviv, the daughter of his father, Shlu Basim, which is not the daughter of his mother, or Basimo, Shlu Basaviv, or the daughter of his mother, who's not the daughter of his father. Was I only see half-sisters over here in the Pasuk. Basimo, Basaviv, Minaya. How about a daughter of his mother and the daughter of his father, a full-fledged sister? How do I know that that's also a erva, the word erva, meaning a forbidden relationship? How do I know that's also included? Talmud Loma, thus the Torah teaches, Talmud Loma, Ervas Achoso Gila. The Erva, the nakedness of his sister Gila, he has revealed. So there's an explicit pasuk, an explicit phrase in the pasuk referring to this third example of a full-fledged sister, a Bas Imo Ubas Aviv. So the obvious question is, Achlo Yomar, until it doesn't say, literally, until that it doesn't say, but meaning to say, that even without saying it, even while the pasuk saying this, yeshli bedin, there is to me in din. And there is to me a kal v'choma. There's a kal v'choma as follows: im ona shal bas aviv. If the pasuk is punishing for a bas aviv shalu bas imo, who's not the daughter of his mother, ubas imo shalu bas aviv, or the daughter of his mother who's not the daughter of his father, so bas aviv bas imo l'kol shekein. So then certainly the daughter of his father and the daughter of his mother, lo kol shekein, is it not all the more so? Kol shekein all the more so. So obviously, the fact that, I mean, it's a clear kal v'chomer, totally logical that if the Torah is punishing a relationship with a half sister, then certainly a full sister is going to be punishable. So the Braisa concludes, halamadata, thus your teaching, the Torah's teaching, or lamadata, your learning, lamadata, to learn or to teach, she'ein onshim adin, that we don't give a punishment min adin based upon a kal v'chomer. We don't give a punishment based upon kal v'chomer. So you had to have an explicit pasuk to state that. So the same thing also for the hazoma, for the zomimim. So even though true logic should dictate that zomim should get killed when they achieve their hazoma, but since it's not explicit in the pasuk, and we'd only be arriving at that through a kal v'chomer, we have no right to be ma'anish, to punish them based upon on that kal v'chomer. So the Braisa continues and says, Onesh Shemanu. We've heard so far about the Onesh. We found the source for the Onesh of such a relationship of a Bas Aviv Bas Imo. The punishment we see over him is this pasuk which we quoted before, Isha Sheyikach Achosa Bas Aviv Bas Imo, etc. And the pasuk of Ervas Achosa Gila. These psukim are talking about, if you look in the Chumash, these psukim are talking about the punishments which are due for the people who commit these crimes, these forbidden relationships. So the Braisa says, Onesh Shemanu, we've heard so far about the Onesh. Azhar Minayin, the warning, from where do we know? In other words, there is a principle that you can't punish without a warning. So every punishment stated in the Torah is always somewhere preceded by an Azara, a warning not to do this particular act. So where do we find a warning for a Bas Aviv Basimo? Where do you find the warning for that? Talmud Loma, thus the Torah teaches, Erves Achosacha Bas Avicha or Bas Imecha. Now this pasuk is, if you look on the side there, this is in Vayikra Yud Ches. The other pasuk in which we quoted regarding the Onshim is Perek Chaf, Vayikra Chaf. The warnings are in Pashas Achrimos, which is in Perek Yud Ches, and the punishments of the forbidden relationships from Parshas Kedoshim, which is Perek Chaf of Vayikra. So the Braisa is now asking, where do we find a pasuk in Achrei Mos, in the section about the warnings, where do we find the warning for the Bas Aviv Bas Imo? So the pasuk is, the Braisa is quoting the pasuk, Erves Achosacha, the nakedness of your sister, Bas Avicha, the daughter of your father, O Bas Imecha, or the daughter of your mother. So that pasuk again is in the Azhoras section. So says the Braisa again, Ein li ala bas aviv shalu bas imo. There isn't to me over here except the bas aviv shalu bas imo, a daughter of his father who's not the daughter of his mother. Yes, because the pasuk says, and bas imo shalu bas aviv, or the daughter of his mother who's not the daughter of his father. Again, Bas Aviv Bas Imo Menayin. How do we know both a full-fledged sister, Bas Aviv Bas Imo? Talmud Loma, Ervas Bas Asheshes Avicha Moledes Avicha Achusacha Hei. The nakedness of the daughter of the wife of your father. Moledes Avicha. She who was born from your father. Achusacha Hei. She is your sister. So again, this pasuk is a reference to a full-fledged sister, Bas Aviv Bas Imo. And again, the same argument. The Braisa says, Achlo Yoma, even before it says it, Yeshli Menedin, I'd know it from the Kal V'chomer. Maim Huzar Al Bas Imo Shlo Bas Aviv. If a person would be warned, if a person's warned on the Bas Imo Shlo Bas Aviv, Ubas Aviv Shlo Bas Imo, and a Bas Aviv Shlo Bas Imo, so then, certainly, Bas Aviv Ubas Imo Lo Kol Shekein. The daughter of his father and the daughter of his mother would not be all the more so that he's warned about that. Just go back to the line above that, just to explain this, to read this more clearly. Ma im huzar. Literally, just as if he would be warned. But we say, if he's warned. The word ma is not really translatable there. Okay. So again, you have the kal v'chomer for the azhara. So, we have a kal v'chomer, but nonetheless, the pasuk goes out of its way to state it explicitly. So the Braisa concludes, halamadata, thus you learn, she'ein was mazhirin min adin, that we don't give warnings min adin. You can't make a warning, is you can't assume a warning. An interesting concept, to think about this on a more expansive level. You know, when we warn people don't do things, so and then we have a timer, claim against them for doing X, Y, or Z, which should have been inferred from the first, from the warning which I explicitly gave. So the Bryce is teaching us that there's no, we don't give, we can't have an indictment against somebody for doing something which they should have known not to do based upon an inferred warning from something else, a kal v'chomer type of warning. Right? We don't, when ein mazir min adin, we don't give warnings based upon, you know, through a kal v'chomer. It has to be explicit. In any event, that's so far about the onshin and the azharas, the warnings. So this concludes the point which was made at the beginning of the Gemara that, you know, the argument between Barivi and his father, there's no onshin min adin from a kal v'chomer, there are no, azharas min adin, and therefore the Edom Zoma, we stand by the original principle that the only time the Edom Zoma are killed is only after the Hazama, after the Gemara Din, but not after the actual execution of Bezdin of the defendant. So now the Gemara now asks, Chayvi Malkius Minayin. Those who are liable to Malkius, to lashes, Minayin, where do we know that from? Rashi explains, Chayvi Malkius Minola, Amasthisin Koi. This is now going back to our Mishnah. Amasthisin, upon our Mishnah Koi, this is standing. This question is standing on our Mishnah. The Omar, the Mishnah said, "Ein osim din hazama." We do not do a din of hazama ad shigama hadin, until the din is, until the case is completed, until the judgment is completed. V'yolif lo menefesh benefesh, and the Mishnah learns it from nefesh benefesh. The mishtoye that is speaking, mishtoye, speaking, the mishtoye that it's speaking b'chayve misos. It's speaking about those who are liable to death penalties, capital cases. So, we're now saying, Chayvi Malkus Menolin. Those who are liable to Malkus, where do we know that from? Meaning, Ha'iduhu Shechayv Malkus. The witness has testified that he's liable to Malkus. For Huzma, and then they're Huzum. Menolan, from where do we know? De'ein Lokin. That they don't get lashes themselves, Elam Kain unless, Nigmar Hadin. Techila alpihem, the judgment was completed initially alpihem. How do we know the same on their mouths? How do we know the same idea that it's only after the Gemar Din, but not after the actual execution of the judgment on the defendant? So again, back to the Gemara, Chayvi Malkus Minay. Those who are liable to lashes, how do we know it's the same thing? It's after the Gemar Din. Talmud Lomar. Thus, the Torah teaches Rasha Rasha. We have a Gezeirah Shava Rasha Rasha. Gezeira Shava. So the word Rasha is said in the parsha of the first pasuk in the parsha of the section of Mises Bezdin of the capital cases, and it's also said in the pasuk in the parsha in the section of Chayvi Malkus. So the two psukim there. Let's just see the two psukim. Let's see where it is. 1 second. It says Rasha. It's written Rasha in the section of Mises Bezdin. Oh, I'm sorry, in Mises Bezdin, Bamidbar 35:31. The word Rasha is said there about those who are chayiv Mises Bezdin. And it also says the word Rasha in the section of Malkius in Devarim 25:2. So because of the kal v'chomer, we apply the halachas of one, the principles of one to the other. So just as We say that by Chayve Malten Mises Bezdin, in the Din of Azoma, it's only after the Gemara Din. So similarly, in the topic of Chayve Malkius, also it has to be after the Gemara Din. So the Gemara continues, Chayve Golius Menayim. How about those who are Chayv Golus? Now this is asked as a separate question, as Rashi explains, Hayiduhu Shechayv LeGolus. They testify that he's obligated to Golus. Vuhuzmu. And then the Huzm. The Tanan, we learned the Mastisin in our Mishnah, earlier on, actually the very first Mishnah, the Masechta, Sofeges Arboyim. The witnesses, the Edom Zomim, have to now absorb 40. Sofeg means to absorb. Each witness absorbs Arboyim 40 lashes, which is 39. So that's the din of, if they testify that he's Chayv Golus, they're not put into Golus themselves, they get Malkus instead. So Menolan, from where do we know, Adshi Gomar Din, that's also after the Gemar Din. Now, the reason why that's not simply understood from the fact that we just said a second ago, that those who are Chayv Malkus also has to be after the Gemar Din. There's a difference over here, as Rashi explains. The Honi, Hoel V'Lav Medina Kasha Zomam Kemis Rabu, these ones, this case over here, of being Chayv Malkus for a false testimony of Golus, since they're not coming, Hoel V'Lav Medina Kasha Zomam Kemis Rabu, since not from the din of Kasha Zomam, due to him as he plotted to do to them, Kemis Rabu, they are being literally included. In other words, they're included in Malkus. They're not being included in Malkus because of the Pasuk of Kasha Zomam, do to him as he plotted to do to his brother, right? Because we don't give, they're not getting Malkus over here because they were trying to be Mechayev Malkus. They're getting Malkus because they're trying to be Mechayev Golus. So they're not getting Malkus over here in the regular sense of getting Malkus as a reciprocal punishment. Lo osi Malkus did the hum a gezeira shava to Rosha Rosha. So therefore, their Malkus, lo osi Malkus did the hu, their Malkus, lo osi does not come, will not come, is not coming, the gezeira shava, from the gezeira shava of Rosha Rosha, the Rosha Rosha. The mahu lo yalfinan, that from that gezeira shava, we do not learn ella Edom Zomim, except about Edom Zomimim, Sherishiu and Nidon Lukos, that are incriminating the Nidon, the defendant, to get lashes. The high Rosha Rosha, that this Pasuk of this Gezira Shava of Rosha Rosha, but Nidon and Kasiv, that's said about the Nidon, about the, those who are, being judged about. It was that the word Rosha, if you look at these Pasukim, the word Rosha is applying to the one who was the defendant. So because of that Gezira Shava, we say the same rules of Mises Bezdin apply to the same to Chayv Malkus, that it's after, if it's a case of Zomimim, then it's only after they have the din of, only after they have, after the Russia, the defendant, gets the Gemar Din. But the point is that we don't have a basis for saying in case of Chayv Golius, when they're trying to be Chayv Golius, that they should get the say that the replacement, so to speak, the replacement punishment for them, because they're not going to get Golus, is Malkus. It's not coming from the Kasha Zomim Pasuk. So therefore, how do we know that punishment of Malkus for Chayve Golus is also only after the Gemara Din? So the Gemara says, in answer to this, Asya Ritzeach Ritzeach, there comes another Gezeira Shava of Ritzeach Ritzeach. Another gezeira shava, ritzeach, ritzeach. It says the word ritzeach, murderer, in the someone who kills b'mezid, ritzeach b'mezid. It says murderer, and it also says ritzeach in the parsha of someone who kills b'shogeg. So that's relevant. Why? Because the witnesses being b'chayv golus, trying to obligate the person Golus, is saying that he killed Beshogeg, he killed by accident, that's why he's Chayv Golus. So it says in that parasha there, Ritzeach, and it also says Ritzeach in the parasha of deliberate murder. And we know that in the case of deliberate murder, when the witnesses are saying that you deliberately killed somebody, that's the classic case of where they get where the Zomim get the reciprocal punishment of getting killed, just like they're trying to mechayev the defendant because they're claiming he killed deliberately. So it says Ritzach in that section. It says Ritzach also in the section of those who are chayev golus for accidental murder. So that's the basis for saying that the same rules apply to what applies in the for deliberate murder applies to accidental murder, namely golus, and therefore the rule of hazama is the same as in the case of capital cases. I'm going to stop at this point right now, even though I haven't gotten to the end of the Omud. The next part I'm going to do on the next tape, so we'll stop over here.
Okay, so okay. Starting now from Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai said, Ereb Nechama. Now this literally means, I will see consolation. I will see Nechama. Base prefix doesn't fit in. I will see consolation. Now Rashi says right away on this, Lo Ereb Nechama. I will not see consolation. This is an example of where a negative thing is reversed for the positive in order not to convey a negative statement. Rashi continues, "Ubegemara hipcho lebracha." The Gemara reverses it for a blessing. I'll skip the next part of the Rashi. Back to the Gemara, Yehuda ben Tabai is saying that I will not see nechama. I will not see any consolation. I will not have consolation. Im lo hiragdi eid zomeim. If I did not kill an eid zomeim. If I didn't kill an eid zomeim. An individual witness, Zomeim, and Rashi explains, Im lo haragdi eid Zomeim, if I didn't kill an eid Zomeim, as I didn't have him executed, Shlo huzum ela echod mehem, that only one of them, one of the two witnesses was huzum for haragtiv, and I would have killed him, and I killed him. Basically, he's saying that my wish would be to actually have an eid zomeim, whose partner witness is not huzum, and my wish would be that he should be executed. Sounds astonishing, but the reason why he was motivated to say this, as the Braisa continues, is lahotzi melibon shel tzedukim, to take out from the hearts of the tzedukim, melibon from the heart. Their hearts, mem is from, libon lev is heart, libon their hearts, to take out from the hearts of the tzedukim, which means basically to reject the opinion of the tzedukim, shahayomrim that would say, ein ha'edim zomimim neharogin ad shiyohar ganidon, that the edim zomim are not killed until the defendant is killed. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, that was their position, that you don't do the din of azoma on somebody unless the defendant has the final punishment done to him. So that's their opinion, and so opposed and so frustrated, so this is Yehuda ben Tabai about that opinion. He's saying that my wish would be, and I will not have nechama until I kill an eid zomeim, even if the other witness is not huzam. That's how emphatic he was. I will not see consolation until that's what I do. Amalo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach said back to him, Aaron ben Nechama, I will also not see Nechama. It's reversed the same way the other one was. I will also not see Nechama. Im lo shafachta dam noki, if you did not spill innocent blood. Shaharei amru chachamim. For the rabbi said, the chachamim said, Eina eidim zomim narogim, that eidim zomim are not killed ad shiyazumu shneim until both of them are huzam. Ve'in lokin, and they don't get malchus ad shiyazumu shneim until both of them are huzam. Rashi says, shahrei amru chachamim, mas nisin hi, it's our Mishnah, mashnayim ein naharogin, just as two are not killed ad shiyazumu shneim until both of them are huzam. Diksiv, as it says in the pasuk, vihine eid sheker ha'eid, behold, false testimony, he's testifying. Va'omamara kol mokum shenema aid. Wherever it says the word aid, harikan shneim, the meaning is there is over here two of them. Ad sheifrit lecha kasev echad, until the verse specifies for you just one. Yifrot is from the word prat, which means specific detail. Ad sheifrit lecha, until the verse, hakasev, the verse details for you echad. So the plain meaning of the word aid means two witnesses. So we know, he's stating the basic concept that you don't do the din of hazama until both of them are huzam. So he's astonished. How can you, Rabbi ben Tabai, say that I want to kill even a single aid zomim just in order to reject the opinion of the tzedukim? That's terrible, because that's only one witness. You have to be mazim both of them. So the Gemara continues with the story, and it says, miyad kibal olav b'Yehuda ben Tabai. Immediately, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai accepted upon himself she'ena mora hira, that he would not instruct instruction. He would not give instruction. He would not teach. Ela lifnei Shimon ben Shetach, except in front of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Rashi says ela bifnei Shimon ben Shetach shim yita yorehu, that if he will make a mistake, then Yorehu, he will instruct him. Shimon ben Shetach will teach him and direct him on the right way with that mistake. And the story continues, V'kol yomav shel Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, all the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, hoya mishtatech, he prostrated himself, hoya mishtatech, like he spread himself out, he prostrated himself, al kivro, on the grave of shel oso ha'ed, on the grave of that witness that he had executed as being an aid zomim by himself. So it sounds like he actually did achieve doing that. So he was mishtatech al kivro shel oso ha'ed. He prostrated himself upon the grave of that aid, of that witness, for hikolo nishma, and his voice was heard. His voice was heard. Whose voice? Says the Gemara, kusavurin ha'am, the people reasoned or thought to say, lomar, to say. The word kusavurin, savar, means to reason. Ukusavurin ha'am lomar, and the people reasoned to say, it was kola shel horog, it was the sound, it was the voice of the murdered one, the one who'd been killed. That was the voice they were hearing from the grave. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai responded, and he says, no, koli shalehu, it's my voice you're hearing. You're hearing my cry. Teidu, know that to be true. You'll know that to be true, because lemachar, tomorrow, who mace, he will die. And ein kolo nishmar, his voice will not be heard. So he's referring to himself. He will die tomorrow, is referring to himself. When he dies, you're no longer going to be able to hear the voice, the sound of anyone crying. So it's proof that it's really my voice that was crying all along. So Amalei, Rav Acha Barei de Rava, Rav Acha Barei de Rava said, L'Rav Ashi, to Rav Ashi, Dilma perhaps, Bedina Kam Bahadei. It's not necessarily the case, he says, that maybe it was really the voice, the sound of the witness that was coming from the grave. But the reason why the sound stopped after Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai passed away is because perhaps Dilma Bedina Kam Bahadei, in judgment, he rose up against him. In other words, at the point at which Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai died, so then there was a vanquishing, so to speak, of the witness against Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, and at that point his crying stopped. Inami, alternatively, piyusi piyase, piyus means to appease, double expression, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai appeased the witness. Maybe he appeased him, and that's why the crying stopped. Piyusi piyase, he appeased him. So Rashi says, because Savurim, going back to where the Gemara said, because Savurim, the people, when they heard the sound, the voices, the crying coming from the cemetery, they thought that it was the sound, it was the voice of the nifta, the voice of the witness who had been killed. And Rashi explains, Hakol Belaila. Everything was Belaila. All of this was at nighttime, or Bayom, or during the day. Ve'enon Roim Oso. And they weren't seeing him. I think it means they couldn't see him, they couldn't make out where the voice was coming from, and they just assumed it was the voice of the executed witness. And until Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai explained otherwise. Okay. And that's the end of the Gemara. So we'll now start the next Mishnah as follows. So it says, Al pishnayim edim or shlosha edim yumas hames. On the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, yumas hames. The dead one shall die. That's what the pasuk says. So it says the Mishnah, imus kayemes edus bishnayim. If the testimony is fulfilled, bishnayim, with two people, with two witnesses, as the pasuk says, shnayim edim or shlosha edim, two witnesses. So lama parat hakasa bishlosha. Why did the verse specify three? Was if it's done by two, so what's the point of saying three? Allah says the Mishnah, rather lahakish, to make a connection, to make a hekish, a connection. As follows, mashlosha mazimin es hashnayim, just as three witnesses have the power to be able to be mazim, to falsify shnayim, two witnesses, so af hashnayim, so even two witnesses, Yazumu es ha gimel, or shlosha. So two witnesses can be mazim, three witnesses. Rashi explains, Rashi on that. So that's the point of the hekesh, of mentioning three witnesses to make an equation between two and three, just as three can be mazim two, so two can be mazim three. And the Mishnah continues, so minayin afila meya, how do we know that even 100, the two witnesses can be mazim, even 100 witnesses. Talmud Lomar, so the Torah teaches Edim. By the extra word Edim, twice in the Pasuk, it says Shnayim Edim or Shlosha Edim. By the repetition of the word Edim, it's alluding to the fact that even two can be Mazim 100. That's according to the Tanna Kamma. But Rabbi Shimon says, Mashnayim Edim Neharogim Ad Shiyu Shneihem Zomamin. Just as two cannot be killed until both of them are made zomimim, ad shiyu, until they become shneihem, both of them zomimim, so af shlosha, so even three, einam neharogin, even three are not killed, ad shiyu shloshdan zomimim, until all three of them become zomimim. So that's what Rashi speaks over here. Rashi says mashnayim neharogim yazum shneihem. So Rashi just says, because the Purish La'el, like I explained earlier. But back to the Mishnah, it says, Umanayin, how do we know, Afilu Meya, how do you know even 100? Meaning to say that no one is killed. If there's 100 witnesses, you need all 100 to be Huzam, to execute any of them. Talmud Loma Edim. So the Torah teaches the word Edim. So that's all according to the Tanna Kamma and Rib Shimon. But then Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo ba hashlishi lahokel. The third one is not coming to be lenient, ela lahachme, but rather to be stringent, olav, on him. V'lasos dinu k'yotze be'elo, and to make his din similar to these ones. So like this, as the Mishnah continues, v'im kena, and if so, onash akosav linit ba la'ovri aveira, and if it's so, that the verse punishes the person who is nitpal, who is ancillary, like the word tofel, from the word tofel, who is ancillary to the ovre avera, to the ones who are committing the transgression, ovre avera, like the ones who are doing the avera itself. In other words, the third person is not really necessary for the testimony. But yet we say that the third witness is part of the whole group. And he's punished just the same as the other two zomimim are punished. So just as we say that the secondary or the tofel witness to the main witnesses is punished just like the two witnesses themselves. So therefore, alachas kama v'kama, that's an expression, alachas kama v'kama. It's an expression which means all the more so. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, yishalem sachar, or yeshulam schar l'nitpal l'oseh mitzvah, k'oseh mitzvah. They'll be paid reward to the one who is secondary, who is ancillary to the doers of the mitzvah, k'oseh mitzvah, just like the ones who are doing the mitzvah itself. So Rashi says on this, Rabbi Akiva Omer lo bar shlishi. Rabbi Akiva says the third one is not coming, v'chule, etc. So Rashi says, luhutzrach lelamdeinu zos. It's not necessary to teach us this, i.e., whatever the Tanakhama said and Rabbi Shimon just said, it wouldn't be necessary to teach us all of that, is Rabbi Akiva saying. The memeila yadinun, because automatically we would know. Sheshnayim mazimim eseshlosha, the two could be mazim three. That was the Tanakhama's drasha. The reason is shahari shnayim, because two, that behold two, kasherim lechol edios, because two are kosher for all types of testimony. Two witnesses are all kosher for all types of testimony. So of course two can be mazim three. That's vis-a-vis the Tanakhama. And then vis-a-vis Reb Shimon's drasha, he continues, umemela yedi'inan, and automatically we would know she'ein zomamin ad she'zumu kulam, that they're not zomamim until all of them are huzam. Why? Shari kulam ke'echod nasu edim, that behold all of them as one, they became witnesses. They're one entity. For krok siv, and the verse writes, V'hine eid sheka ha'eid, behold, it is one witness, or false testimony, it is the witness. It's describing the whole cat, the whole group. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, lo ba ela l'hachmir, the mention of the third witness in the pasuk is not coming except to be stringent, olav, upon him, on this third witness. Shalotoma, that you shouldn't say, since that without him, the witness, the testimony would have been miskayemes, would have been fulfilled. Hayasa ha'edas, read it again. Ubalavhu, and without this, without him, hayasa ha'edas miskayemes, the testimony would have been fulfilled. So therefore, because you don't need him, the two witnesses by themselves would be sufficient to establish a testimony. So really, he's not necessary. The third one's not necessary. Lo yasu bo din hazoma. So, and we would think that they shouldn't, that the Beis Din should not act or do with him any din of hazoma. So in order to reject that, lemadocha hakosov, the Torah teaches you, sha'af hu min mekayim dava, that even he is from those who are establishing the matter. They're also part of the testimony. That's the chiddush of mentioning the third witness in the pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva. And then just as a side thing, or as an additional dimension of this, the Mishnah said that in the same way that we punish the third person, like he did the Aveir himself, so also we learn the same idea with regard to doing mitzvahs. We are that the third part, or the ancillary, the peripheral person to the group of ones who are doing the mitzvah, gets the same reward as the one, as the main people who are doing the mitzvah, In other words, the extra person who would technically not be necessary in the performance, in the execution of the mitzvah, gets the reward just in the same way that the main people in the execution of the mitzvah. And Rashi says, Rashi explains this, he says, Alachas kamavakama all the more so, Shemetzino, that we find, Mida hatova maruba, that the measure of goodness is greater. Mida hatova maruba. The measure of goodness is maruba, is greater than Mida sapronis, more than the measure of punishment. But Mida tova hu omer, because regarding Mida tova, it says, Notza chesed la'alofim, that he preserves kindness for thousands of generations. But midas peronis, but though it says by regard to the measure of punishment, Omer, it says in the pasuk al shloshim val ribayim, for 30 or 40 generations, and that's it. So the measure of goodness always extends much longer than the measure of punishment. So the Mishnah continues. Umenayin, the Mishnah says, Umash Nayim, Nimtza Echol Mehem Karev Apostle, just as with two witnesses, if one of them is found to be a relative or apostle or invalid for testimony, edusan betela, both witnesses are bottled, the testimony is bottled, is nullified. Afshlosha, so even three, nimtza echov mehem karev apostle, if one of them is found to be a relative or invalid, edusan betela, their testimony is bottled. Benayin afilu meya, from where do we know that even with 100, Talmud lomar edim, again, because the extra word edim teaches us that. Says the Mishnah Vayit on the next page, Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "B'medum memorim." When are these words said? When do we say all of this? In other words, this that we said, that if one of them becomes posel from the group of three or more, the whole testimony is bottle. When do we say this? This is bedine nefashas, only with regard to capital cases. Rashi explains bedine nefashas by capital cases. Diksiv, as the verse says, v'hetzilu ha'eda, that the v'hetzilu ha'eda, the pasuk, he doesn't quote the whole pasuk over here, but if you look, the pasuk actually is in Bamidbar 35:25. V'hetzilu ha'eda seretzeach. This is a admonition to the bezdin to save the congregation. The eda is the congregation, which is referring to bezdin. Should go out of its way to be matzel, to save the ritzeach, the murderer. In other words, there is a leaning towards finding the innocence as much as possible of the ritzeach. So Rashi continues, umhadrinon azuchusa. We pursue the zuchus, we pursue his zuchus, his merit. Azuchusa, we pursue upon zuchus merit. So therefore, when it comes to Dina Nefashas, so we have this precedent that we have to do the most we can to be able to save the innocence or to save the life of the Ritzeach. Al Bedine Nominus, but with monetary situation, Tiskaim Eidus Bashar, then the testimony will be established with the rest. And as if one of them, if there's four witnesses, three witnesses, and one is found to be a Karev or apostle, so he's like dismissed, and the testimony will be established with the other two witnesses. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says no. Echad dinei mominus v'echad dinei nefashas. Right? Both dinei mominus and dinei nefashas, it's all the same thing. Rashi explains, Nami edusim betela, also their testimony is bottle. If one witness is found to be a karev or apostle, then the whole testimony is out the window. But then the Mishnah continues and explains that this the Rabbi Yossi said, that if one is found to be a karev apostle by dinei nefashas, the whole thing is out the window. So explains the Mishnah, Amosai, when is that so? Bizman shehisra behem. That's only when those witnesses had warned them, warned the person who was about to commit the murder. Aval bizman shelo hisra behem. But if they never gave a warning at a time when they didn't warn them, mayasu shnei achim. What can two brothers do? Shiro bechot shaharegas nefesh, that one of them saw someone kill another person. Mayasu shneiachim, what can two brothers do? Shiro that saw bechot one individual shaharegas nefesh that killed another person. Rashi explains, bizman shehisra behem, at a time when they warned them, ubedina nefashas, in the case of dina nefashas, ki amrinon, when do we say butler, that the testimony is bottle, is bizman shahakarev or apostle nishtatev be'edus mitachila. It's where at a time that the karev, the relative, or the apostle, or the one who is invalid for testimony, nishtatev be'edus mitachila, partnered or combined with the testimony from the very beginning, liyos to be ben amasrin, to be from one of the ones who are giving the warning, Be'ovre Avera, on the ones who are committing the transgression. Aval imlo hisru behen. But if they never warned them, lo kivnu lios eidim badava, and they never intended to be witnesses in the matter, lo botleidus hachirim. The testimony of the others is not nullified, bishvil riyosan shal elo, because of the seeing of these ones. The mayasa shneachim, because what can two brothers do? Well, it's not their fault. What can they do to avoid this? Shiro, that they saw im shlishi together with a third individual, minashuk, from the marketplace, b'yechot shaharek as a nefesh, one individual that killed a soul, a life. In other words, it's not, you know, that just the mere sightseeing of a murder take place does not automatically make them witnesses to them, make the testimony bottle because two brothers happen to see the same thing happen. But it's only in a situation where the two witnesses got together and intended to be witnesses and warned the Ovri Aveira, the ones committing the transgression. So now it's a problem if one of those witnesses is a Karev or apostle. So that's the end of the Mishnah.